I'll go to Elizabeth Beaubien. Okay, and did you have a PowerPoint? You do? Okay, do we have a... Okay, well, just I won't start your time yet. Just wait.
And Madam Chair, is it possible for us to get copies of all the PowerPoints that have been presented to date?
Certainly. When we get to that point, I'm sure we can.
Sure.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Leibovici. Now we will go ahead. I think it's ready. Is that? Okay. All right, please proceed. And you have 5 minutes.
To introduce myself, I'm a biologist, currently completing a PhD in plant ecology. I started a program 20 years ago called Plant Watch, which engages citizens in reporting bloom times for wild plants. This program's now across Canada. My interest in reducing pesticides goes back 2 decades. Today, the City Parks Department has called 3 people who are very friendly with the pesticide industry. I'd like to ask the committee, can you clarify if any of these experts or their clients or members benefit directly from weed control products, services, or turf management in general? Have they benefited from provision of these services in the city? Peter McLeod is a federally registered industry lobbyist with CropLife Canada. In 2004, CropLife Canada dragged the City of Toronto to the Supreme Court, saying that the city's new pesticide bylaw was not valid. They lost their case. The court upheld Toronto's right to protect their citizens. This group claims that pesticides make for happy, healthy communities, but I think listening to Evie Rodway, Sarah Hawkins, and Dr. Farrow, we've heard about the ill health associated with pesticides. I'm also interested, maybe you could tell us, who's paying for Peter McLeod's expenses to be here today?
Ms. Beaubien, as the chair sitting here, I would suggest you stick to the issue at hand,
if you can. Organic turf care is not new at all. Rachel Carson produced Silent Spring in 1962. It has incredible research and it's completely relevant today. I highly recommend reading it. There's lots of other information. Carol Rubin wrote this book in 1990, How to Get Your Lawn and Garden Off Drugs, still highly relevant today. Lawns for Canada, Natural and Organic, produced 5 years ago. Tons of excellent information there in terms of doing it. And we have local expertise as well. Tim Penstone of Environment Solutions, EnviroPerfect Solutions, sorry, is an organic turf company in this area. And he tried to do a project for the city. He said, we did 3 years, 2005 to 2008, of organic trial with the City of Edmonton Parks using only compost tea. Unfortunately, all of the fields were contaminated with either large amounts of synthetic fertilizers or herbicides at some point during those 3 years. This killed off most of the biology. What he means is the live microorganisms in the soil we had built up. And he was told by the director that due to funding cuts, it would not continue. Anyway, here's an example of the luck that, or the success that Tim has had with organic turf care in Calgary and in Sylvan Lake. As you can see, the green spaces look pretty nice. But actually, green spaces, as Cherry pointed out, don't have to be just one plant species. We really have to get over this monoculture mentality about just having turf grass. It's much more natural and healthy ecologically to have a mix of plant species. As Cherry mentioned before, too, trips to Europe. Here we go. Pesticides necessary to keep lawns beautiful. Well, really, lots of information available from Safe Lawns and from these books and other sources. But this lawn is the Palace in Oslo, Norway. And I can see a couple bare patches. But when you look at that lawn, it's actually 95% Forbes knot grass. And they just mow it and it looks great. Same with this cemetery, a premier area in Stockholm. They mow it and that's it. It's full of clover, plantain. I see some buttercups. There's English daisies. Anyway, we don't need pure grass. The problem is for biodiversity. If you look at the Way We Green website, the city website, and watch Colleen Cassidy St. Clair, the biologist from University of Alberta, she points out that the problems with using herbicides and other pesticides is that they poison the whole food web. Plants on the left, shoots and roots, what happens is those roots are badly affected by the chemicals such that they stay short. If you allow the biota, the fungi, the bacteria, the nematodes health by not putting on chemical fertilizers and pesticides, then the whole community is healthy, including the robins that have to eat the worms and other animals higher up. One of the problems in terms of biodiversity is loss of pollinators. Perhaps you've heard of the collapse of honeybees worldwide. Well, a large part of this is being blamed on a nicotine-like pesticide called, what is it, imidacloprid. I can barely pronounce it. But it's widely used in North America, and it's used on insects such as aphids, and it's banned in Europe but still used here. We need to protect our pollinators. The precautionary principle has been brought up several times today. In short, our citizens deserve a safe environment, and I find it disturbing that families with kids who are out in the summer sunshine are exposed to these toxins. 2 years ago, I cycled through Horlack Park the day before the International Triathlon, and the grass stank of herbicides. You know, is this how we welcome our top-level athletes? By exposing them to these toxins. Until it is the law, people will not stop using pesticides in their backyards.
Ms. Bovian, your time's up.
Here you can see how pesticide bylaws have increased. Now 80% of
Ms. Bovian, sorry. Well, hopefully some counselors will ask you some questions.